This is the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast.
And a very warm welcome back to the 4-0 Written All Over It podcast, episode 18. And for the 18th time, I'm here with Ollie.
I was very happy. Well, glad to be back-ish, I kind of guess. I feel like this podcast isn't going to be the happiest of podcasts because we're not doing overly well, are we? Let's face it, four draws and the bounce. Not title charging form, is it?
No, but before we do get into any specifics in terms of the games this week, social media has been awash with negativity, apathy, disappointment and frustration this week following the four draws on the bounce that Ollie's just mentioned for Pompey. Expat Alan commented on 4-0 Written All Over It on Tuesday. He said the team is mediocre and the manager has no experience. Until big money is spent and real quality is bought in, we will be forever stuck in the living hell that is League One. Mark Southerton said, Andrew summed it up, we're not good enough. Five draws and one win out of the last six games. We couldn't beat Shrewsbury on Tuesday, but Plymouth did last night. Either the team's not good enough or the manager isn't good enough, or both. I know the Isners have done a good job off the pitch, but they need to invest in players. We need to have a squad that can get automatic promotion and not try to keep sneaking into sixth spot. Remember, Pompey don't do playoffs. We need a squad capable of winning the league convincingly. Great channel from all of your family, play at Pompey. So thank you for that, Mark. And those are just two, Ollie, of the ones that I've picked out from our pages across social media that have been issues have been highlighted this week. There's kind of been people even questioning at this moment in time, kind of really, has anyone lost faith in John Mousinho? And I think for that to happen as a result of a January appointment with no transfer windows, with a team that he's inherited and a squad that he took hold of at 15th position. And we were all asking, can Mousinho steer us out of a relegation scrap? For us to now be disappointed and frustrated and asking if anyone's lost faith in him as a result of coming short of the playoffs doesn't quite feel fair.
No, I think that he's very much a victim of circumstance, similar to that of what the Cowleys were in a way. You know, the Cowleys had that bad run of form between October and January. I think if we hadn't have had 5 years of jacket ball prior to that, we probably would have felt very differently about that and those people in those situations and maybe given them a bit more time. But relatively, he's come in and been successful comparably to where we were prior to him being in. So, you know, we can't sit there and say he's done a terrible job, he's an awful manager with no experience, because actually I think he's done a lot of very good things for us. But that, like you said, there's only so much you can do with the tools that you've got. Our unfortunate set of events are that we're not converting enough wins and we're not converting these draws into wins. And we've said it time and time and time again. I mean, if you look at our last, you know, not last 10 games, but our last five home games and our last five away games, whether they make up our last 10 or not, God only knows. But we've averaged 1.5 points from those per game. Mm-hmm. So we're winning one, losing one, in essence. Which, relatively, if you win 50% of your games in a season, that's not bad. Now, you wouldn't be far off the playoffs, similar to where we're not today. You know, if we had 43 games and we won, say, half of them, 21, 22, we'd be on 66 points. We're on 65 at the minute. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We're there or thereabouts where we deserve to be on the form that we're on. Mm. But we're just not. If we convert a few of those draws, you know, two of those draws get converted, three of those draws get converted into wins, all of a sudden it's a different complexion, isn't it? And we'd be sat here being ecstatically happy. You know, two of the last four draws, they turn into wins. All of a sudden, we're sat there 71 points, 1 point off the playoff places.
They could quite easily have been wins as well, two of them at least.
Yeah, exactly. Like the MK one springs to mind immediately. You know, Morel doesn't do what he does. We don't get him sent off. We win that game. We come out of it again in a very different place. Even now with that one win, 4 points off the playoffs with a handful of games to go, you could argue you're still in and amongst it, just about holding on to the coattails of it. But I
Shrewsbury
think
could have won as well. Plenty of chances to win it at Shrewsbury. And Morecambe, you could argue that maybe we had the lion's share of it as well. So,
yeah. So, I mean, it's not for want of trying, but I think that, like we said, we can't judge Mourinho based on this season, really. You know, he walks into a team in a very poor mental place. Let's face it, the team aren't going to be in that place of, oh, we're winning games, blah, 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 we're doing really well. He's walked into a very low dressing room with a crowd that absolutely was despising the team at that point. You know, there was some real upset and, you know, almost aggression towards the team at Fratton Park. It was so negative there. So for him to turn them around and get us to where we are now, I think is a success. He's still working with the same group of players, and those players are still going to have the same scar damage as anyone else. You know, that they're all holding on probably a little bit to the episode between October and January, still mentally. And I think we just need to get through the season, put that to bed, and start a fresh new in the new year. But I do agree with the comments made there from a few of the fans that we are in desperate need of proper investment in terms of getting some good players and not letting our good players go. We do it too many times, and we've said this so often on this podcast and on the channel, that, you know, players take a while to gel into a team. And the problem we have is we continually rotate every season. We sell our best players and we buy some new ones, and that seems to be how we operate. And I get that financially we might have been a bit unstable after Jacket, because we were investing a lot at that point and throwing a lot of eggs in the basket to try and get into promotion. But we've had a few years to recover from that now. I think this summer's got to be no excuses, and we've got to go out there and prove why we deserve to be in the top six in the league, if not the top two.
The argument would probably be, in terms of what you're saying, just to kind of flesh that out, is number one, keep Colby Bishop over the summer. I think has to be a kind of a priority and an absolute must. And then obviously the main reason why Pompey have struggled so much, particularly in the last four games with the four draws, is the pace and the intensity of the team, the comfortableness in carrying the ball carrying threat, the speed and the aggression, and the pace out wide has been a major problem over the summer. I don't know whether recruitment solves not being able to break down a low block. I don't know how you feel about that, but that to me feels like a solely tactical based decision that has to be made, and ideals that have to be implemented, and not something that can be done in the transfer market.
I think I would agree.
The difference between a lot of the games is the low block and not being able to break teams down.
I would agree with that to an extent. But I also do feel that's also down to the players that are available. Okay. I think that, you know, we can't lose sight of the fact that Mourinho has inherited this squad. Mm-hmm. It isn't his squad. It's not his setup. It's not his choice. And none of us know what his choice and his setup looks like. You know, he's never been in management before. That's not to say he doesn't deserve to be in management before. Before Arsenal, Arteta wasn't ever in management. You know, he was.
Well, you look at Kieran McKenna and Stephen Schumacher at Ipswich and Plymouth, who have never been managers before, and all of a sudden come into something and do incredibly well with a bit of cash behind them.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't put the blame on Mourinho. I think we do need some good recruitment this year. I think we're still weak in places, because the problem you have is you can't, like England. England's a prime example as a football team. So you've got some of the best right backs in the world in England's squad at the minute. You've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, which he's had a season to forget, let's be honest about it, but he's well-renowned to be still one of the best right backs in the world. You've got Kieran Trippier, who came out of the form of his life playing out in Spain, coming into the squad. And you've got a multiple Premier League winner in Walker. Now, because of that diversity we've got at the back, we've got the ability to attack in different ways. You know, having someone with the pace of Walker really changes the way that England play going forward, because they can afford to overload going forward. They can afford to chuck more men forward. They can afford to overcommit with the knowledge that Walker is strong enough, fit enough, quick enough to get back and cover. Now, if we don't have that confidence in our back line and we don't have that ability, I'm not saying we're going to have a Kyle Walker playing for us, but what I'm saying is that if we don't have the confidence in the squad throughout, it adapts the way that we have to play football as a team. And I think that that's been one of our big stumbling factors this year. I think we've got a few weak links in the team that remove that air of confidence about really pushing forward and really being aggressive and really attacking. And consequently, we are a little bit more conservative and we lose the ball in places we shouldn't. And then we, you know, you look at most of the goals we conceded this season, I would say a lot of them have been counterattacks. My recollection of the goals I've seen, more
the majority have been from set piece, dead ball situations, statistically. Yeah.
That's terrible. That just goes to show straight away, doesn't it? Defensively, we're not good enough. You know,
goals against.
Yes.
Sorry, I thought you meant goals for us. No, sorry, completely right. Yeah, we've been caught on the break too many times. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. The way we've scored goals has been through set piece, dead ball situations. That's been where we've scored them. But letting them in, definitely on the counter, yeah, 100%. Yeah.
So,
but that builds the low block argument, doesn't it? Where teams are sitting in, and then all of a sudden they get the ball. We're so high up because we're trying to push and break them down, and you get caught out.
I mean, you look at our last game. I mean, I tend to have a look at the stats quite often in games when I've seen us play, and just have a little view afterwards to see an overview of what I felt the game was like. Oxford, 60% possession, 21 shots Oxford had. We had 7. They had 3 times more shots than we did. Granted, they only had the same amount on target as us, but they had 3 times more attempts on goal than we did, and we had 60% of the ball.
Yeah.
Now, that's just one example. That's synonymous in quite a few games. You know, there's a number of games where we have the majority of the ball, but we don't create enough opportunities. Shrewsbury Town, 64% possession against 36. We created 12 opportunities. They created 10, but they had 4 on target. We had 2. They've hit the target twice the amount that we've hit the target when we've had 64% possession of the ball. So once again, we're just not doing enough, are we? We're not... We got the ball and we're working the ball and we're comfortable in possession of the ball, yeah, which is a really great thing to be. But we should be converting that possession into shots. You look at any team in the Premiership that operate in the manner of possession that we're operating in now, they will dominate games of football and they'll go and win them. I just feel that we've got some very good attacking players, but we're missing links in certain places which are stopping us from being really committed going forward. And if someone's going to play that defensive role where they're going to sit in and you're going to see 10 men behind the ball at all times, and it's going to be very much like trying to break them down bit at a time, which seems to be how teams are setting up against us, then we need to have players that are confident enough to go through those positions, take through those players and create space and move for each other and work for each other and create the opportunities. Because with that amount of possession, we should be putting more balls in the box, more shots on target and consequently more goals.
How disappointed are you with 7 seasons in League One and this being our 3rd consecutive season in a row without any playoffs?
No, I'm not surprised.
If you look at how disappointed are you, not how surprised are you?
Well, that links to the other to me. I'm disappointed because of it, obviously. It's a horrible place to be, isn't it? Like, no one wants to be stuck in League One. The hardest thing being a Pompey fan, I feel, is the constant, every season you go into a season with, oh, we're favourites for promotion this year. We're up there with the favourites for promotion. Every season, you have the same mental attitude. Every season, we go into it with, you know, we've got a massive gate, we're well-funded, all those kind of things. We should be fighting for promotion. We're a big club, big supporters club. It's hard to come to Fran Park, blah, 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 blah. But the reality of it is we haven't been successful. Now, under Jacket, I can see why. Now, relatively, you look now, he did a pretty good job for us. You know, if you argue now, like, I know it sounds silly to say, but
things haven't got better since he went, have they?
They've got worse since he went, yeah. And I think that Jacket was given a bit more flexibility financially. I think he was given a bit more money to spend financially. We had some big names signed unto him. We were paying some big wages. I think COVID happened. We lost most of our revenue in the fans. We made a massive loss. Then we had to kind of recompense for that loss a little bit. We had to sell some players that we probably didn't want to sell. We had to get some income from other areas to help, you know, balance the books, because ultimately football is a business. I'm not saying other clubs have to do that, but other clubs are a lot less reliant on their fan base than we are in the league.
Ipswich had COVID. They're probably similar, if not bigger, size club to us, and they're doing okay.
Yeah, but then again, that comes with the investment that they've put forward this season. I think that we've probably looked at it from maybe a 2 financial perspective, and you know, we gave Jacket a bit too much free rein and overspent in a too much bigger way. We don't know what Ipswich's salaries and wages were like prior to COVID, whereas we were very much all in at that point, weren't we? It was that was really promotion or see you later Jacket type season, which is what it ended up being. The Cowleys came in and I actually felt really positive about them. I really liked them. I felt that that was a good opportunity for us to gain promotion, but I don't think they were ever really given the tools to do so. I don't think they were given the finance to spend. You know, we sold a lot of players. We had a lot of players coming on free transfers or youths or whatever it might well be coming through. We didn't invest back in the squad in any of those two seasons, any of those two summers two transfer windows. So then now we've got Messina, who's never, you know, looked at a transfer window relatively. So I'm not surprised that we're still in League One with what's happened. I'm massively disappointed that we are still here. And I feel like we do deserve better and we should be doing better. And I think for a lot of fans this coming season, if we don't see a change, there is going to be a bit of an uprising against the owners. And we may well see like a Man United get out Glazers type situation at Fratton Park.
Pompey's current spending budget, player-wise, is believed to be in the region of £4 million. John Messina is confident that that figure will rise as he assembles his first squad for the full season at the helm. And he said, it's a healthy budget and we're in a good spot. He completely knew what it would be coming into the role and he didn't think we could have a tilt at doing something with this budget. Then I'm not sure I'd be in the job with all the expectations and the pressure. I think it all fits together and it all makes sense to me. We're going to spend what we can afford to spend. We're going to spend that wisely. We think if we can do that and get everything right on and off the pitch, we certainly have a good year next year. So that's the kind of the view from him. And something I wanted to juxtapose with you, Ollie, just before we move on to a little bit of specifics about Oxford and then maybe a quick look ahead to the weekend as well. Danny Cowley always talked about we have to be relentless. And he came out after a draw or a loss and went, this is Portsmouth Football Club. We deserve so much better. Messina on Tuesday night said it was a good game of League One football, which was met with widespread condemnation and people saying, what on earth are you talking about? That wasn't a good game of League One football. I don't think Pompey fans like us being late. I know we have to kind of accept it, but we don't have that kind of, don't like being labelled as a League One club. And I think there's only so many times that you can say that was a good game of League One football before fans start to disapprove of what you're trying to achieve. And the reason for the more cross-examination of what John Messina has been saying post-match is because of the dip in form has coincided with that. So there's a case to answer there. Right then, let's crack on, shall we? We'll talk about Oxford specifically. You know, more than anything, a chance for Pompey to right the wrong of previous misdemeanors at Oxford because we haven't been particularly good there. It was a really painful game to watch on Tuesday. 525 passes and there's a distinct possibility than more than that. No more than double digits were forward passes. Every time we started to look like we were going forward, we decided to just get to halfway line, Rafferty or Ogilvy, play a sideways or backwards pass. And, you know, when we receive the ball, we're facing our own goal, which already puts you in a negative standpoint. With three games to go, we can only really get a couple of positive results before the end of the season. And ultimately, the place where John Messina left is the place where his next employer found out that they weren't going anywhere this season, if they didn't already think that months ago. What did you make of Tuesday overall?
I thought it was a disappointment.
So did I.
Oxford, a 20th. Mm. Fighting relegation, 1 point above it. We are 9th. It's just not good enough. It's as simple as that, isn't it? You know, the last few games we've played, you know, Shrewsbury are 12th, MK Dons are 19th, Oxford are 20th. You know, all the teams we've played pretty much in those draws are below us or not far away from us. Who was the fourth team we played in the last four draws?
Morecambe.
Morecambe. Morecambe are 22nd, Oxford are 20th, MK are 19th, Shrewsbury are 12th, and we've drew all those games. Mm. Now, for someone who wants to be fighting for playoffs, that's not good enough. All of those games, realistically, maybe except Shrewsbury, should be a win. Even then, we should be looking to beat Shrewsbury. We should be, you know, if we wanted to be a team that are going to be in the, you know, the top echelons of the league, you got to be looking at beating every team below you. You look at Plymouth this year. You know, they've won 27 games. We've won 16. So there's been 9 games that we've not won consequently, different to them, which it happens to be all draws, to be honest with you. We've had 17 draws against their 8.
11.
11, sorry. It's terrible maths, isn't it?
Not 9. 27 of 16 is not 9, is it?
Yeah, it's my long day at work coming into play there. That is some awful maths. But yeah, so they've won 11 games more than us, sorry. You know, 9 of those for us have been draws.
Well, there you go then. And I'm sure the fashion of those wins are against lower league sides for Plymouth.
Yeah, completely. I mean, and
Luton Town confirmed a playoff spot the other day. They left League Two after we did.
Yeah.
The Championship playoff spot, that is. Leighton Orient are coming back up.
Yeah. I mean, like, a prime example, Plymouth beat Shrewsbury 2-1. They beat Exeter 1-0.
They battered Shrewsbury as well.
You know, you've got Forest Green Rovers, they beat 2-0. Derby County beat 2-1. Charlton, they beat 2-0. They're not like flying through teams here. You know, they lost 5-2 to Peterborough at one point. They drew with Cheltenham. Bear in mind, that's in the EFL Trophy, mind you.
That builds the argument, right, that League One is not as difficult as maybe people make out. You think about the amount of times where we've gone this season, oh, playoffs might be back on. So-and-so lost to so-and-so, which means it's opened up for us. If we'd just taken advantage of that maybe 2 or 3 more times than we have done on 2 or 3 more occasions than we have done this season, the whole thing has a different complexion to it, isn't it? And it's a head in your hands moment, and the bottom line is pure disappointment. Anyway, there are positives, Ollie.
There are
positives. There's one positive that I found. So here we go. The last time we played our opponents this weekend at Accrington Stanley at Fratton Park, can you guess what the scoreline was?
2-1.
No.
Was it 4-0 by any chance? It
was 4-0 written all over it on the 5th of March, 2022. We also beat them 3-1 away from home. That's kind of where the positives end, to be honest with you, because back in March when we beat them in the snow, 3-1 away from home, they actually didn't look like the side in the position that they were. And even with 10 men on the pitch, they put up a really good fight against us. So, in an even more precarious situation that they are currently sitting 23rd in League One with a handful of games to go and with one more game to play than us and their final game being against Oxford United, a win takes Accrington Stanley back out the drop zone, assuming other results go their way, which in a relegation fight, by and large, they do. Mm. Morecambe picked up a win in their last game and Cambridge have been on really good form. So,
Cambridge have been on excellent form until their last game. You know, they've gone last 5 games, they've won 3, drawn 1, lost 1.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. For someone at that end of the league, you know, that they're really battling their way out of those positions. And, you know, I hope for them they do, to be fair. I really do. I think it'd be a great success story for them to have turned that round at that point. The thing sort of screams to me is you look at the teams we've been playing in these games, what an opportunity it was for us to make the playoffs, which is such a sad thing, isn't it? You say Accrington Stanley's our next game, Morecambe we've played, Oxford we've played, MK Dons we've played, all of which are in or around the drop zone. Hmm. That it's mental that we're sat here today really having this discussion, feeling the way we're feeling with those games, because it isn't good enough for us, is it? But I would like to turn our attentions, after speaking about the bottom of the league, to the top of the league.
We'll do that after Accrington. Go on.
Oh.
Bear in mind, they have us and Bolton away from home in the next, well, between Saturday and Tuesday upcoming. So they've got 3 days of Pompey away and then Bolton away. Bolton probably a much harder trip than Pompey away, but it's still not nice to have to make such lengthy away trips. But
no,
the thing with Accrington Stanley, they always seem to get out of trouble when it matters. And they have done for seasons now in League One. Do you see something similar happening? The Great Escape in all its glory at Fratton Park on Saturday?
No, I mean, they've got. I think they've got more chance of beating us than they have Bolton. I think our season's dead in the water now. I don't think the boys are going to be... It's going to be particularly difficult to motivate the boys to go to that game and try and produce a win. The only thing they're playing for now is pride, which hopefully they've got enough of to actually stump it up and bring home a win. But relatively, if Accrington have got a chance of winning a game, it should be against us, shouldn't it? You know, Bolton are right in the mix in the playoffs. They are joint points with Derby County. They got a game in hand. They realistically need to win that game to secure a place in the playoffs and give themselves an opportunity. So they're going to be battling tooth and nail to the end of the season now and really fighting for it. Similar to Accrington, but obviously the class level between the two teams should show, really, you'd imagine, over 90 minutes.
Accrington have conceded 15-1-5 goals in their last 15 in their last five games. 15 goals have let in five. They lost 2-1 to Peterborough, 5-2 to Fleetwood, 3-0 to Sheffield Wednesday. They then beat Port Vale 3-0 and lost 5-0 at Exeter. So, and this argument rings true. And I remember having this conversation. We might as well copy and paste the file from the last podcast episode. But Forest Green, who had conceded the most in the league at the time of when we recorded, they now conceded 81, which is by far and away the worst record in League One in terms of goals against. Burton Albion are next up in terms of goals against with 77. Your next team to look at is Accrington Stanley, who have let in 73 and have a goal difference of minus 37 this season. They've lost 22 of their 42 league games so far. The worry is... The worry is, Ollie, the full-time score is going to be Portsmouth 1, Accrington Stanley 1.
There is that possibility.
No, it's going to happen because it can't stop happening at the minute.
No, we do seem to be in a bit of a lull, don't we? It must be said. We went through this real run of form where we couldn't stop putting the ball in the net. You know, we were scoring 2, 3, 4 goals a game and it was really exciting. And then all of a sudden we've dropped off a cliff and we can't find the net. And then when we do find the net, we concede one. So it's there is the distinct possibility of a 1-1 draw, but I would like to say that I'm going to stick my blue tinted glasses on here and say that we're going to hammer them this weekend and we're going to win 3-0.
You wanted to talk about the top of the division.
Yeah, I want to talk about the top of the division just because of how many times are you going into the end of the season where the top three teams are separated by 2 points?
And how many times do you know that all of the top four teams have now confirmed a playoff space at least?
Yeah.
With four games to go.
It's an exciting... I think Barnsley, unfortunately, have played their way out of it. When I say they've played their way out of it, they've had a loss and a draw in their last five games, which seems...
Still got a game in hand over Sheffield Wednesday as well.
They do, yeah. But even if they win that, there's still a few points behind them. No, Ipswich and Plymouth have got a point over Sheffield Wednesday and they've got a game in hand each, or at least a point. Obviously, Plymouth have 2, Ipswich have 1. Both of which got a game in hand as well. I mean, the thing that screams out to me is Ipswich's defensive form this year. Strangely enough, they've conceded the same amount of goals as Bolton. Both have only conceded 33 goals. However, Ipswich have only lost 4 games over the whole season.
And look at nearest... that, goals 4 as well. Look how many they've scored.
Yeah, I think that's a big difference, isn't it? I mean, I read today that Connor Chaplin was named in EFL Team of the... whatever it was, Team of the Month or something. He's got his 80 sticker on FIFA. And we let him go. We sold him because he wasn't good enough to play for us in League 2.
We said at the time it was the worst decision we've ever made. We did. Of course we did.
It was awful. It was 22 terrible.
22 goals. 22 from midfielder Connor Chaplin.
Yeah, exactly. And it speaks volumes, doesn't it? I think Ipswich did the right thing this year. They invested in players. They invested in good players that are known to perform at this level, if not above it. I mean, let's face it, we've all said about Marcus Harness last year, how well he performed for us. You know, how well he played as part of that team role, putting balls into the box, creating opportunities, putting himself in there. He stayed fit all season. He didn't get any injuries, that kind of thing. You know, he was an all-rounder for us. And then we sell him to Ipswich and wonder why they're scoring 87 goals a season. We're scoring 57. you know, it doesn't really take a genius to figure out why, does it? And let's face it, he was a player for us that we could have seen playing for us if we got promoted to the Championship. You know, I would have felt that he would have performed at that level and been able to play there, similar to Jamal Lowe. You know, he proved himself at Swansea, didn't he? He played to that level. And we let him go. I'm not saying that we're going to hold on to every good player we ever have, but we need to show some willingness of investment to keep these players in the squad and keep us moving forward.
How do you think the league's going to finish? Bearing in mind Ipswich haven't lost a league game since the 21st of January, so they've been unbeaten in however many games that is. Do you feel like Plymouth or Ipswich are potential champions elect? Do you think Sheffield Wednesday could still make a late beeline for that title? How do you see the top of the league finishing before we leave?
If
I have to take some time to think about this. Bear in mind Ipswich, you've got to go to Peterborough and Barnsley in the next week or so away from home.
Yeah, there's some big games coming up for them.
There are
there?
Some massive games coming up for them.
That's what I was just looking at. The what
you would have thought if they win these next two, I don't think anyone could argue that they deserve to go up automatically or as champions.
I mean, but
Plymouth have an outrageous record too, as to Sheffield Wednesday, as to Barnsley. So there are four teams that deserve the title, basically, aren't there?
And the other thing you got to think about Plymouth is their next three games are all home games.
Yep.
You've got Cambridge at home, Bristol at home.
Home Park this season as well, I think. They've lost twice.
I don't know the stat
on
that.
They've lost twice at Home Park this season.
And that's what I mean. And they've got Cambridge, Bristol Rovers, Burton Albion, and then away to Port Vale last game of the season. They realistically, you look at that, you think Plymouth are going to get, you know, four wins there, don't you?
Mm.
They should do, based on form. But the thing that can't be ignored is the quantity of goals Ipswich are scoring.
Yeah.
You know, they've scored over two goals a game in every game this season on average. You know, it is a crazy statistic. So they have got some tough games in Barnsley. That is going to be a very tough game, especially with Barnsley wanting to win their, you know, if Barnsley want to get automatic promotion, they're still in a hunt for it. They're not out of the question at this point. And if Barnsley want that opportunity, they're going to have to beat Ipswich. So they're going to be well up for that game. And they'll also know that Ipswich have got a slightly tougher run in. You know, they're not away with it, where they've got Exeter at home. You'd imagine they beat that. They've got Peterborough away, which isn't going to be an easy game either, because Peterborough on their day can play some really good football. So,
and they want a playoff spot too, don't they, Peterborough?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think that there's going to be a real dogfight now between now and the end of the season. If you ask me who I think is going to come out on top, who I'd like to come out on top is probably Ipswich. I like Ipswich. I like the investment they've made. I like the way they've been. And let's face it, you know, we've had some bad trips to Home Park, so I don't really want to see them win the league. But I do feel like Ipswich and Argyle will be there at the end of the season. In honesty, I think Ipswich, Argyle and Wednesday will be the three that go up.
Okay.
I think over the course of the playoffs and automatic spaces, whoever ends up in them, that's what will go. I think if Ipswich end up in the playoffs by some strange probability, I think that they'll walk it and they'll smash it. I can't see them getting beaten just with how well they've played all season. You know, they've been phenomenal.
Well, that's what Ollie thinks. We will revisit this next week. We have two more episodes of the Fauna Written All Over It podcast to go. Would you believe it? We're going to end on episode 20, which is a nice round number to end on for the season, isn't it?
That'd be lovely.
Considering we started halfway through the season with this as well, I think it's nice to be able to finish on 20. Thank you for joining us. Keep the faith. We'll see you Saturday. Thanks for listening. And as always,
play up, Pompey.